Hello, hello, and welcome to FPL 360, where the takes are almost as hot as Johan Berg Gudmundsson.
Yeah, JBG came through for me and you as well. I tipped him in my column looking at FPL-specific stuff, and I know you had mentioned him when you were covering for Nick over at RotoWorld. What kind of caught your eye about him heading into Burnley's match this week? I mean, for me, it was pretty much tied with the fact that they had a really good matchup against Cardiff and then turning around and having Huddersfield Town this weekend.
Well, the big thing was in the previous match, while Aaron Lennon was the guy that ended up with all of the goals and assists, it was Gudmundsson that was pulling the strings behind all of it. And if we were playing hockey, he would have also had an assist on all of those. But unfortunately, soccer is not hockey, but he came through with a goal and assist in this game.
Yeah, I mean, the big thing for me, as you said, it comes down to, because I actually wildcarded last week, and I made out pretty well. It was an unconventional last-minute decision, but I came away with 83 points. And the big thing for me was, obviously, JBG is the quarterback, so to speak, of the Burnley attack, but he's also been averaging 2.5 shots per match over the last three, which is nearly a shot more than he's been averaging on the season. So while I did not expect him to get a goal and an assist, I was pleasantly surprised with the numbers working out. How did you manage in OFPL?
I ended up with a paltry 56 points compared to you, which led to me taking a nice 4-point hit to prepare for bringing in a premium midfielder with my now 5.5 that I have in the bank.
So what kind of moves are you looking at for this week?
Well, so for this week, I did a double change of getting rid of Benjamin Mendy and Romelu Lukaku, and I replaced them with Jamie Vardy, a massive differential at forward, and is it Fabian Balbuena?
Yeah, El Comandante.
Yeah, we don't need all of those names.
That was his nickname when he played in the Brazilian First Division, because he's like the commander in defense.
You learn something new every day.
Yeah. So you said Vardy and him?
Yep.
I went with, you know, I had no intention of taking a minus four after wildcarding, but looking at how things have worked out for me this season, I actually shed Aguero, and I'm rolling with Lacazette and Vardy up front. And I got rid of Mitrovic and Aguero. So we'll see how that pans out for me. Going bold has worked well so far, so I'm not going to be straying from that anytime soon. Chuck, before we get into game week 8, I wanted to get your take on what is your thoughts about Gylfi Sigurdsson coming off his major performance in both OFPL and Fantrax. In Fantrax specifically, he was the highest scoring midfielder with 37 points. He had 2 goals and could have had a hat-trick from missing a penalty.
I mean, Gylfi's great. He's obviously money as always in draft leagues. Just due to Everton's inconsistencies, I'm not sure that I'm ready to trust him in OFPL. But he's definitely someone to watch.
Yeah, another guy to mention, I'll let you talk about him because you kind of brought him up, is Leno for Arsenal.
Yeah, so he hadn't been able to really show his stuff in the Premier League yet, but with Petrček going out with an injured hamstring, I believe, Leno came in adverse circumstances against a pretty strong Watford side that was attacking Arsenal heavily, and made a good showing of himself. Like, while it only shows in him making three saves, he was doing things like getting big in the net, having proper positioning to scare off the Watford attackers, and really the things that you want from your number one. And this time, without Cech in the lineup, is going to be very important for him earning his starting spot at the Emirates.
So I've seen that Cech could be out for 3 to 4 weeks with this hamstring injury. Arsenal are at Fulham, and then after the international break, they play Leicester, at Crystal Palace, Liverpool, Wolverhampton. Are you interested in Leno in either OFPL or Fantrax?
Oh, Fantrax most definitely. Because that the Arsenal backline is bad enough that he will get attacked, but good enough that if he stands on his head, they'll still keep a clean sheet.
So you're buying in on him?
In Fantrax.
Okay, not in OFPL. The last club I think we need to talk about from this weekend is West Ham. They are now in their last three. They have 2-3-1 wins, and they kept a clean sheet against Chelsea in the middle. What is going on? Are we saying that how they've looked lately is how they should and not how they did in the beginning of the season, somewhere in the middle? What do we make of Pellegrini's side? Because they've been quite volatile thus far, and I'm talking more so specifically for Fantrax, because the ownership of their team is kind of wide open.
Well, to start, everything with Pellegrini joining the team was supposed to be a process. He's not going to roll in overnight and revamp the entire side. So it makes sense that it took them 5 or so weeks to get off the ground. Hence why anyone who asked me at any point during the year if they should sell Felipe Anderson, I said absolutely not. And then he returned, I believe, 24.5 points in Fantrax this past week.
Yeah. I mean, he's been money. I was someone who drafted Yarmolenko in... And I got rid of him the week before he had his coming out party. Granted, he's come back down to earth. He only had 5 and 6 points the last 2 weeks. I definitely do like Felipe Anderson better long-term than Yarmolenko, although he will have his days. I guess the reason why I wanted to talk about them, and it segues into our first match, which is West Ham traveling to Brighton. Lucas Fabianski was a goalkeeper touted across pretty much all formats by anyone who plays fantasy soccer or claims to know anything about it. The last couple weeks, he's played like we were expecting, and he's returned like we were expecting. He is owned in 63% of Fantrax leagues.
Yes, yeah, someone dropped him in our league.
At Brighton?
Someone dropped him in our league, and I immediately responded by picking him up to start him at Brighton, along with picking up Balbuena to do a West Ham double up.
Yeah, I mean, Brighton have been weird this season, because if you look at their results, I mean, they haven't won a match since beating Manchester United, but they've also had a really rough run of fixtures. So they lost to City 2-0, they lost to Spurs 2-1, then before that they drew Southampton and Fulham. Prior to that they lost to Liverpool 1-0. So they haven't been playing terrible. They haven't been able to maximize the Fulham Southampton in between this rough run of fixtures. But what do you make them? Is Chris Hughton's side, are they, when their schedule opens up, are they a club to target? I mean, they have West Ham, Newcastle, Wolverhampton, Everton, Cardiff, Leicester, Huddersfield, Crystal Palace, Burnley. Those are their upcoming matches.
Unfortunately, outside of Anthony Knockhart, Glenn Murray, Duffy, and maybe Gross when he comes back, but we don't know, because I don't know who that guy's been on the pitch, but it's not Pascal Gross. Realistically, if they're not facing a bottom three side, I can't trust Brighton.
Yeah, they're tough. I mean, would you be trading for Anthony Knockhart right now?
No, his value is way higher than it should be and than it ever will be. So I'd be selling high on him.
I mean, if you look at it, in four of his last six matches, he has returned at least 14 points in Fantrax leagues.
Yeah, I don't see that keeping up with the amount of wingers that Brighton has. Like, it's just going to be once Izquierdo is healthy and playing again, something's got to give.
Yeah, Izquierdo got 7 minutes off the bench against City. He should factor in over the next couple weeks. What do you think here? Draw, West Ham win?
Oh, what? West Ham probably another 3-1.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would say West Ham 3-1. Yeah, that seems to be the magic number for them lately. A match I'm going to target in all formats and may even wet the beak a little bit on. Burnley hosting Huddersfield Town. Before we start talking about this game, though, I have to say I love David Wagner. I love the Terriers. I'm praying that they manage to stay up, but it does not look too promising for them right now.
Yeah, the fate we predicted for them last year seems to be what's going to happen this year.
So, I mean, there's a lot of ways to... There's a lot of things we could point out, but from your perspective, what is the biggest issue for Huddersfield Town?
Goodness. Striker's putting the ball in the back of the net.
Exactly, that's what I was going to say. They are currently bottom of the league in goals for with three, and two of those have come off set pieces. So they've scored one goal from open play through seven matches. And then they're also bottom of the league in goals allowed with 16, even with Cardiff and Fulham. So with that said, is this another JBJ or JBG day? I think so, right? I mean, based upon how he performed against Cardiff, are you backing him for double returns?
I see this as a trap for Burnley. This game just has 0-0 draw written all over it.
Even though Burnley's at home, where they won 4-0 against Brighton last time, or Bournemouth last time out.
But also remember, this Burnley team allowed 14 shots to Cardiff. None went in, but
they don't. I mean, that is fair. I mean, Cardiff had 5 on target.
Yeah, that's because Burnley does their best to funnel those shots. I find it hard to see them beating Huddersfield, which is saying something with as bad as Huddersfield are.
I mean, I'm not worried about Burnley getting the result here, and I am a little skeptical about the clean sheet. I had brought in Charlie Taylor on my wild card because he was a cheap starting fullback. He disappointed, obviously, with them conceding against Cardiff, so I would be skeptical about the clean sheet, but I feel like this could be a 3-1 result for Burnley. And I guess acting accordingly, I mean, I guess we're in the different on this, but if we're following my line of thought, we'll start with that. I mean, right now, Chris Wood's ownership is down to 28%.
Well, that's because Chris Wood hasn't been starting.
I mean, Matrić Vydra, he's at 7%. He started the two matches.
Yeah, I mean, I had Vydra. I dropped him this week in Fantrax just because I wanted to add Cabaselli to my team. Realistically, you want Vokes.
Okay. So I guess outside of Tarkowski, Ben Mee, Hart, and obviously Goodmunson, you would say stay away from this match?
Probably.
Prediction, I'm going to go with 3-1 Burnley.
I think I'll do 1-1.
Crystal Palace Wolves, I'm going to take a second and give a shout out to my boy PVA, who scored.
That was a blinder.
I mean, that was a heck of a finish. Left foot to right foot and then roofed it. Unfortunately, he was a casualty of my wild card, so it pained me, and I knew the second the game week started without him in there, he was going to score. That's just how the FPL universe works. Wilfred Zaha got an assist on that, and now Palace host Wolves. Palace have not been good at home. Wolves have been good overall. Who are you looking at in this match? I mean, for Crystal Palace, Zaha is the only guy that stands out for me, at least in OFPL.
Literally anyone on the Wolverhampton back line.
So, I mean, they've been very good at home with their defensive record. Away, they have not been as appealing.
I mean, this team has allowed 6 goals on the season. I think they're okay to start anywhere.
Yeah, so they've allowed, let's see, their last away match, 1-1 at United, 1-0 at West Ham, and prior to that, it was 2-0 defeat at Leicester. So, yeah, it kind of just comes down to can Wilfred Zaha create something for some? So, yeah, it is looking favorable for them. Who would you be targeting in terms of their differential guys or under-owned guys, specifically in the defense?
Last week I beat the Willy Bolly drum. He's still there. Because realistically, Doherty's the only guy getting a true run because of his, 2 assists. Even though Johnny got the goal last week, yeah, that was well deserved.
But I mean, the guy I'm looking at is Ryan Bennett.
But it's like, literally, if they play for Wolves and there's a and the defender name is next to them, they're viable for your FPL side.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing with them too is, is Adama Traore just never going to start?
I don't know what's going on here. Because Helder Costa has held his own, but he's not as good as Traore. What's really going to be interesting now is that Ivan Carvalho is back and healthy. He plays on Jota's side. Jota has not adjusted to life in the Premier League well, whereas Carvalho came off the bench and immediately scored a go-ahead goal for Wolves. If there's any change that Nuno is going to make, it's that one.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. In terms of, I guess, so that would probably make Carvalho the guy to target right now. He's owned in just 16% of Fantrax leagues.
I'm one of those people pushing his ownership up.
Yeah. I'm going to say this is going to be 2-0 Wolves. Actually, 2-1.
I'm going to say 1-0 Wolves.
Leicester, Everton.
Goals, goals, goals.
Yeah, Vardy party. Madison. Our boy Madison's been lighting it up right now. Are we saying sell high or hold?
I think right now you've got to hold because Leicester's fixtures are so good.
Yeah, I mean, there is... If we're talking about him in Fantrax, would you consider trading him if you can get... Because right now he's a midfielder 1. If you could get a solid forward 2 and a solid midfielder 2, are you confident enough in the fixtures?
What I try to do is trade him and a defender 2 for KDB.
Yeah, long forgotten KDB.
Because he'll be back. He's coming. And City's still really good.
Yeah, I mean, Madison right now, and I'm going to just talk about him in OFPL quickly. So Madison has 38 points over the last four game weeks. The only midfielder with more points is Eden Hazard.
That's good company.
Second in goals, and he's tied second in assists with two. So, I mean, it's hard to argue against his form at the moment. Obviously, Harry Maguire got a goal last week. Is there anyone else? I mean, the guys I kind of have looking whenever I'm looking at Leicester is obviously Vardy, Madison, Maguire, and then Chilwell and Pereira.
Well, and now with the Gray injury, all Brighton has to be in there too.
Yeah, so he was the guy we expected to be called upon against Newcastle, but he only got 16 minutes off the bench.
Yeah, but I don't think that's going to hold. Leicester's other wing options haven't been great, because Gazal has been very hit or miss in his appearances. I mean, realistically, even Kelechi's been on and off up top.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that makes it difficult, I mean, it makes obviously a no-brainer for Perea, is that Claude Puel has been using him as a winger. So this past week they've lined up with Vardy, Iheanacho in behind, and then Madison.
Well, that was usually in away games.
Yeah, this was when they were at Newcastle. And then you had Mendy and Didi, Chilwell, Maguire, Morgan, Amarte in the back. So then you would assume for this match against Everton, just based upon the way the trend's going, you'd have Perea in defense for Amarte, and that would open up a spot on the right wing for either Madison or Albright, depending upon what he wants to do with Iheanacho.
Yes.
So, I mean, if you're looking to stream a midfielder, I guess Albright always has upside from assists and chances created. I just don't know if he's as nailed on.
I don't think many people are nailed on at all in that lineup. Just period.
Yeah. Looking across the pitch at Everton, we were kind of let down. We were big time let down by Richarlison and what we were expecting to be a big match for him. They scored three goals against Fulham and he does not get on the score sheet. Is that a concern?
Not only did he not get on the score sheet, he didn't register a return.
Is that a major concern for you?
Not really. Because in reality, we all know Gylfi's pulling the strings of Everton. Richarlison almost had an assist, but Walcott's guided that chance because he did tee him up. But the main assist guys are going to be Gylfi and Digne. Richarlison will get a couple, but you don't have him for assists. You have him for goals, and he'll be fine.
The other thing of note from that match is Bernard came on late, and he got an assist.
The real question, what the hell is going on with the Everton forward situation?
Yeah, Tosin has not, he's been a major disappointment. I mean, he did score off the bench against Fulham. However, that was his first goal of the season, and the match is kind of already a foregone conclusion at that point. I don't know, to be honest.
I'm just waiting for them to try Richarlison at the nine. Because
that's what Marco Silva's comments prior to the match kind of suggested.
Because that's the only thing left now, right?
Yeah, I mean, you have Calvert-Lewin, and then you have...
Because Nias is dead to the first team.
Yeah, I mean, you have Lookman, but he usually plays out wide. I mean, Andre Gomez can play more...
He's not a forward, though.
I mean, he's an attacking midfielder. Yeah, that's pretty much it. So I mean, I guess that would be the other alternative. I mean, looking at how they lined up against Fulham, I mean, they got three goals, so Silva is going to be happy with that. But in terms of performances, I mean, Calvert-Lewin has not grasped his chance. He hasn't really impressed me enough to say that, even though Tosin's been struggling, especially with him getting a goal off the bench.
Yep, he hasn't.
And if you're pushing Richarlison up front and you're opening a spot on the wing, I mean, what would be your pick? Who comes into the team?
I mean, if you're doing that, then it's probably Bernard, finally. I'd like Lookman to get a run, just because I think he's one of the most electric youngsters in the Premier League. But you bought Bernard for a reason, so I'd assume you got to use him.
Yeah, the other guy to mention here, if you're looking to stream a defender, because of his upside getting up and down on the right flank, Jonjo Kenny looks like he's going to get at least one more start, with Coleman probably not back until after the international break. So in Fantrax leagues, he's available in close to 90%, so I would consider him. Leicester are half goal favorites at home. Do you think that holds? They get the win. I mean, I'm expecting goals. This, for me, 3-2 Leicester.
I think Leicester gets the win because Everton's just crap. It's funny that the week that I decide to trash their defense in an article is the week that they keep their first clean sheet of the year, but I still don't trust it.
A team I do trust this week, although I'm not sure how they're going to line up, Spurs hosting Cardiff. Chuck, what is the latest on the injury room?
Oh, good lord. So, Hugo's back in training. That's the good news. And then there's a whole lot of bad news. Because ahead of our game against Barca, Spurs are missing Dele Alli, Serge Aurier, Moussa Dembele, Christian Eriksen, and Jan Vertonghen. Yeah. No big players that actually mean anything to the team there. None at all.
Yeah, you guys are going to get thumped at midweek. No question about that. So looking at the match that you do have a chance at winning, how do you see them lining up if the guys that you mentioned are out, remain unavailable?
Well, I mean, I'm pretty sure none of these guys are available for the weekend, except maybe Eriksen, but even if Eriksen's available, can't see why you'd risk him.
Yeah.
So that means likely what you saw last week, but it's going to depend on Victor Wanyama's health, because you can do a Harry Winks, Musa Sissoko pivot if you're doing wingbacks in a three-man back line, which it seemed like instead of playing Lamela as an attacking midfielder, Poch just wanted to remove the attacking midfielder altogether.
Yeah.
But you're running real thin if Wanyama's not up to it with Eric Dier on the back line as opposed to on the bench or in the midfield.
Yeah, that'll be interesting from a fantasy perspective. I mean, you have Lamela. I picked Lamela up last week hoping he would get a start, and that didn't pan out. You think there's any chance he starts this weekend?
Probably not. The one guy that actually concerns me this weekend is Kieran Trippier, because if there's any game that you can and probably want to rest him because of the amount of games he's been playing, it's this weekend against Cardiff, because Spurs do have Kyle Walker-Peters.
Yeah, you would probably see him rather than Lamela. So, I mean, are you...
I'd assume you see him and Davies in the weekend.
Yeah, so... Are you suggesting, I mean, if adding Kyle Walker-Peters. I mean, right now in Fantrax leagues, he's 2% owned, so
I mean,
his availability is not an issue.
Realistically, with players like him and lineup speculation, I recommend adding them at 9 a.m. Mm-hmm. So keep watch. But if Kyle Walker-Peters is in the lineup, then yes, he better be starting in your Fantrax league.
Yeah. Not really much to talk about with Cardiff. I mean, Josh Murphy scored last week. That's about it.
That was a beautiful finish.
It was a really nice finish. I'm going to say 3-1 Spurs.
I'm going to say 3-0. I'd like to think, even with some adversity, that they can keep a clean sheet.
Watford, Bournemouth. I mean, the big talking point here is Junior Stanislas is back.
The bigger talking point is David Brooks finally got the goal he's deserved on the season, but to each their own.
So, I'm a huge fan of both these guys. I think Brooks has played well enough to deserve to stay in the starting 11 at this point, with Ryan Fraser being undroppable. So, do we expect Stanislas to get another cameo off the bench this week?
That's what I would say, because I'm also in the line of thinking that Brooks deserves this spot and has earned it, and Stanislas is made of glass and shouldn't be trusted to start league games and really ever.
Yeah, are you interested in adding Stanislas and Fantrax?
I'd add him, because if you're starting Adama Traoré in games, then you damn sure should be starting Junior Stanislas as well.
Yeah, I mean, the upside is definitely there, and Stanislas is only owned at 27% of leagues. So, yeah, I mean, the risk-reward is worth it if you have a bench spot to burn, although I would be looking at Brooks ahead of him, because he looks set to start, and
yeah,
he's available in 90% of leagues.
Yeah, I was going to say, Brooks is not near owned in enough leagues, because he's been doing literally everything in every game. He just hadn't had the returns to show for it.
Yeah, Brooks is someone I added in the beginning of the season in a keeper league, because he's going to be one for the future, for years to come. Looking at Watford, outside of Troy Deeney, what's up with their team? I mean, who can we really trust, because they've cooled off since that hot start?
I mean, I am one of the biggest Will Hughes fans on the face of the planet. I like everything he does as a central midfielder on the wing. I would prefer if he could actually play as a central attacking midfielder, but whatever to what Javi Gracia is deciding to play at Watford. I'm also a big Christian Cabaselli fan as their dominant center back, because even when Watford leaks goals, he still is around 8 to 9 points a game.
Yeah, I agree there. I mean, Decore is the guy I like. Obviously, he hasn't been as hot as he was at the beginning of last season. He hasn't scored yet. And then, obviously, you have Jan Mata out. You have Holobas being boom or bust on a week-to-week basis. In this match against Bournemouth, are you foreseeing goals? Because whenever there's goals, that means that Holobas is involved.
I don't know what to think about this match, because I thought there were going to be more goals in Bournemouth Palace, and then it ended up almost being a 1-1. I want to say this is going to be a 2-2, but I think Holobas is going to pick up his fifth yellow and get suspended.
I'm not really sure which way this match goes, but I definitely like over 2.5 goals here. I don't see either side keeping a clean sheet.
Yeah, that's fair.
All right, the next match we have to talk about is Manchester United versus Newcastle. As a United supporter, I guess I should be confident going into this match, but at this point, after the goalless draw against Valencia, I'm not confident at all. I mean, Newcastle has not been good lately, but neither have we. We're at home, so this should be like a 2 or 3 nothing victory with a clean sheet, but I don't know. Chuck, what are your thoughts?
I'm loving watching United crumble. Mourinho third year is in full effect, but they're also facing a championship squad that just Rafa can't use his magic to keep up anymore. Yet somehow this game still has 1-1 just all over it.
Yeah, United is becoming just a nightmare to watch. I guess based upon how everything's been, this will be the match where we respond. So I'm going to go with a 3-0 scoreline.
But based on, you would have expected if they were going to respond that, you know, European competition would get them to respond against Valencia, right?
Yeah. I would say outside of Lukaku, Pogba, Sanchez, Shaw, I don't know what to think about United at this point. I have no confidence in them in anything.
I was going to say, in the league, can you really even like start Sanchez in your fantasy leagues? He hasn't featured.
I would say Lukaku and Shaw are the only guys that are must-start at this point.
I mean, I'd still start Pogba. Because Pogba can go out on a field, pass the ball twice, and get 10 points.
Would you be looking to trade for reduced value, trade for Sanchez right now?
No.
Assuming he can't do any worse?
I don't want... Based on Sanchez's end at Arsenal and beginning and present at United, I want nothing to do with Alexis Sanchez. Period. Now, what the United players I would be looking to trade for add Anthony Martial, Romelu Lukaku, and if someone wants to give up Paul Pogba, I will take him, run, and be happy.
Yeah, I don't see why anyone would be willing to trade him, though.
Some people are scared of Barca in January.
I guess. I mean, I get that. That is a feasible line of thought. Before I move on, I'm saying 3-0 United with no confidence.
Saying 1-1. Keep it rolling. Fire Mourinho on Monday.
Yeah, please get rid of him. Fulham host Arsenal. What is the Cadgers' value at home here?
Well, because all their defenders just got hurt.
Yeah, and they just conceded 3 at Everton.
So none.
So Mitrovic, and that's it.
Aren't we supposed to be Americans here and start Tim Ream in something?
I can't do it this week. I mean, obviously you have Sarri, Schürrle, Mitrovic, Vieto,
sort of.
Him and Sessegnon have been back and forth. Vieto's at the upper hand of late. I'm not confident against Arsenal, though, because Lacazette has looked every good as
thought he was. And Ozil has 2 goals in his last 3 games.
Yeah, and Ozil's back on the bump. So here I would start what you can from Arsenal.
And sit everything that's not Mitrovic or Sarri. Wonderful. The big thing actually is going to be, is Tom Carney healthy enough to start? Because he'd be probably the next most startable Fulham player.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, when he started 3 matches this season, he put up 10 Fantrax points against Burnley, 11 against Spurs, and he put up 4 against Crystal Palace. Obviously, he got 26 minutes off the bench. If you could certainly do worse in midfield. I wouldn't rely on him, though, in this match.
I mean, unfortunately, looking at midfielders and Fantrax, it's a deep, dark place. If someone has the potential to score double-digit points, you kind of have to start him.
Yeah. Arsenal are goal favorite on the road. I support that. I'm thinking
only a goal.
Yeah. as of now. That's what it opened at.
I could see them putting three past them.
Yeah, I'm saying this could be a 4-1 win for the Gunners.
I would second that.
Southampton, Chelsea, you have the fighting Danny Ings's and maybe Mohamed Elneny when he starts, but I do not like them against Chelsea this week.
You shouldn't. Chelsea is in top form. Eden Hazard is a man possessed, and who needs a forward?
Yeah, so is Hazard, in my opinion, Hazard is the must-own midfielder in OFPL. Would you say anyone else is, or would you agree with that statement? In terms of the premium options.
I think Sterling's very close, but Hazard's done more in his game, so I can't really argue that.
Yeah, looking at the rest of Chelsea, where is the other value to be found? I mean, you would expect the defense this week.
I don't want the defense any week, not named Alonso. Hopefully Kovacic can actually start getting some attacking returns and make that midfield worthwhile.
Yeah, he's someone for 5.9 in OFPL. He's selected by 1% of teams. I mean, the issue with that is I think there's better options for that price, specifically Goodmundsson.
Oh, there are. Like, I hate the Chelsea midfield in OFPL. I hate most of Chelsea in OFPL. Realistically, you have Hazard, you have Alonso, and then crickets.
Yeah, I mean Azpilicueta, but
not even off. Just because of the way they overload the left side. Unless Pedro's healthy enough to start, I've got nothing.
Yeah, I'm saying this is going to be a multiple goal game for Hazard. I could see Ings maybe nicking a goal, but either way, I'd say this is Chelsea by 2 here.
I'd go 4-1, Chelsea.
The last match we're going to talk about will have a little bit more life in it, because personally, I'm not sure which way to lean. Liverpool versus Manchester City.
The top of the table battles.
Guess we'll look at the big storyline being who the you know what is going to play left back for Pep Guardiola.
Someone is the only thing that I can say and be confident about. I'd assume, based on how Laporte looked at left back in their Champions League game, that it's going to be Zinchenko again. If I were Pep, I'd say fuck a left back and just play three at the back.
Yeah, I think that's probably the smartest thing for him to do, especially considering Mo Salah. I do not like the idea of putting Zinchenko up against him, especially with Salah looking to silence all his critics after his little rough run of form.
Hell, I wouldn't even want to put a healthy Benjamin Mendy up against Mo Salah.
So, you mentioned it to me before we started recording. Are you going to captain Salah this week in OFPL?
Well, I don't own him, so I'm not.
Wait, so why did you mention it?
Because I think Salah is a perfectly viable captain's choice in OFPL this week. I'm captaining Harry Kane.
Okay. Yeah, I think captaining... See, it's between him and Hazard, and I'm leaning toward Hazard at the moment. But I don't have an issue with anyone who makes Salah the captain with the one weak spot of City's team at the moment being where he's going to spend the most of his time. So I don't have an issue with that. Looking at the rest of this matchup, I mean, what is most intriguing for you outside of Salah matching up against whoever plays at left back?
probably Trent Alexander-Arnold and seeing if he can, one, do anything to stop the City attack, and two, his set piece delivery, because I think it'll be the biggest X factor for Liverpool in this game.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting. Who do you like here?
No one.
Do you think this is gonna be go similar to how the Chelsea match went?
I think this is gonna have a few more goals than the Chelsea match. I was very surprised to see Chelsea almost pull out a clean sheet there. I think this will be more 2-2 draw.
Yeah, I guess we should talk about that game. Daniel Sturridge, that was a hell of a goal.
It made us remember that Daniel Sturridge is still a pretty good striker.
So with the forecast being goals here and Sturridge coming off,
Nope. I already know where you're going with this.
If you play in a deeper Fantrax league, is Sturridge worth starting as a third forward?
Is your league 14 teams plus?
I'm just saying deeper league.
If it's
so more than 12 teams.
Okay, more than 12 teams, yes, because that is a point when you just kind of got to take those chances. 12 or less, no.
Yeah, it's interesting with how good he's looked lately, and you would expect him to get more than 5 minutes after the goal he scored against Chelsea. In terms of predictions, I think there's going to be goals. I think this is a draw. 2-2. Is that what you said? I think 2-2
is fine. Yeah, that's what I
said. I could even maybe see 3-3.
I could, but I don't like predicting those kind of draws.
Yeah, so I'll agree with you and stick with 2-2 there. So, yeah, we kind of have been absent back and forth with podcasts lately. I mean, Chuck, we're trying to get back to the weekly schedule we were on before.
Yeah, we're definitely working on it. Soon, our schedules will calm down a little bit, and we'll be able to 100% commit to being more consistent. It's just been a process right now.
Yeah, we're also toying with a couple other projects where we'll be appearing multiple times a week for shorter durations, because I think that's probably what people would rather want, is more concise content in exchange for the length. But we'll see. We'll be active on Twitter as usual.
Yeah, and you can always let us know what you'd like to see on our Twitter at FPL_360. You can always also rate and review the show on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher.
Okay, before we close out this week's episode, let's go with a lock of the week. This can be a specific prediction, player-wise, result-wise, anything you want, but what are you most confident in for Game Week 8?
Another Harry Kane brace.
Kane brace. I'm going to go with Burnley winning at home against Huddersfield Town.
And with that, may your arrows be green.